So I'm an avid listener of Cash Call. I've probably listened to everyone, and I noticed that when you and Brian review a lot of calls when it was live and everything like that, that a lot of them are shorter. And when you get calls that are like 6, 7 minutes, you say that, that this is a long call, right? Like if you're on the phone for that, you should be, they should have an appointment. And so I was curious. Because most of my calls, if I set an appointment on the call, it's like at least 10 minutes. And I was curious if that's like me and I'm just having to, like if I'm waiting too long to go for the close or doing something like that, or if that is kind of regular.
Welcome to Cash Call, the number one real estate sales podcast, where we cover real sales skills in real time, as well as industry vendors, lead providers, CRMs, websites, and top producing teams and agents across North America, all so that you can improve your business in 30 minutes at a time. Cash Call, everybody. Dale Archdeacon. I'm excited to have Jason Trueheart with me. Did I pronounce that right, Jason?
True heart, like just true heart. Yep.
Trueheart. Excellent. Jason Trueheart with us today. He has willingly submitted himself to get some calls reviewed because he'd like some feedback and some help on his sales technique. And I'm happy to do that today. Jason, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us where you're from and where you sell real estate and how long you've been doing it.
Yeah, so I'm Jason. I'm located in Wisconsin, Madison area. I've been selling real estate since I got in like the end of 2020. I started like as an ISA. Didn't become like an actual agent until I think like halfway through 2021. And then actually just I just got back into it because I got out and went to a different sales job, more like construction sales, like commercially. And then I came back in like the end of January. So
Okay. Who do you work for? I see it on your shirt there. Tell us about Dan Chin Homes.
Dan Chin Homes, yeah, we're one of the largest teams in the Madison area as far as like units sold and volume. So we got a good thing going on here. I don't know, we got like 10 agents or 10, 15 agents, something like that.
Okay. Great. Excellent. So why don't we jump into it and start listening to some calls, man? And did you have any questions about lead gen, about calls, about dialing, about interactions that you would want to ask me before we start getting into talking about this stuff?
Yeah, so I'm an avid listener of Cash Call. I've probably listened to everyone, maybe not a couple of the newer ones, but like everything on Spotify, basically that's there. And I noticed that when you and Brian review a lot of calls when it was live and everything like that a lot of them are shorter. And when you get calls that are like 6, 7 minutes, you say that, that this is a long call, right? Like if you're on the phone for that, you should be, they should have an appointment. And so I was curious because most of my calls, if I set an appointment on the call, it's like at least 10 minutes. And I was curious if that's like me and I'm just having to, like if I'm waiting too long to go for the close or doing something like that, or if that is kind of regular.
So no, that's totally fine if it takes a little bit longer to get the appointment. I think as a general rule, when we see a call that goes beyond 5 minutes or so, 6, 7 minutes, then ideally it will end up in an appointment. Or I guess what we're saying is there's enough time there to get to an appointment if it
Right.
can be done, right? But no, I mean some calls can take, 13 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, God help us, 30 minutes. Get an appointment and get everything out. And it also depends on the market that you're in. So, in certain markets, people talk slower and they take a longer time to get to the point, or they are more roundabout in their conversational style. So, in the market that I'm in the Northeast, people will be much quicker to blow you off the phone or get to the point. And it's only the rare case where you run into somebody who wants to BS with you for a little while, right?
Right.
Anything under, say, typically 6 minutes or, 7 minutes, we expect that an appointment either wasn't set or it was something where you already knew somebody and it was a nurture, or, it wasn't sort of an appointment out of the raw, if you will, right? There was already a preface there for having an appointment, or you got blown off, or they just, wouldn't give it to you, or it wasn't a good call, usually
Yeah.
if it's too short. So does gotcha. That help?
Yep.
Yeah, no, you're, you know, we're going to listen to your calls today, and I'm going to give you some feedback on your style, and I'm also going to give you some pointers on how you can have better calls. So I think that's the whole reason that you're here. And I got one. I mean, one of these calls that you submitted is amazing. It sounded really good, and I can tell that you've been listening to our techniques and strategies, and I can hear a lot of them in your call. So I'm going to save the best one for last. So okay. Let's get we'll jump into these and start listening to these calls now. So the first one I'm going to start with is somebody that had an agent already. Let's play that one. Have you done any training with my company, or is it just from listening to cash calls?
Mainly cash calls. The only trainings that we've done is when you kind of like open it up, because we use Follow Up Boss. So when you open up the stuff that you do for all of Follow Up Boss, like the ghosted one that you just recently did, like text and stuff, I was on that. And then the one you did, I think last month or something like that. I forget what the topic was, but stuff like that.
So that's amazing, man. You've been using pretty much free training.
Yeah. Right? And YouTube.
And it's made a huge impact in your ability.
Mm-hmm.
That's excellent. Do you want to testify that the free training has done? What has the free training done for you, Jason?
I mean, it's done a lot. When I first started, I mean, it wasn't all like, obviously the team aspect of it is huge because we have a full-time ISA here. And when I first started, I was also sort of in an ISA role that eventually like went to an agent. So I sat next to him. And so I got to listen to him, and you know, every time he was on a call, I basically like just listen and take notes. And I took a lot of that. And then a lot of any of the free trainings I can get, I'm always looking to learn and different stuff like that. So I'm always taking as much as I can.
Excellent. All right. Yeah. So the one that I'm talking about says ghosted, then went with different agent. So I'm assuming you had that conversation with her.
Yeah. I remember those. Yeah.
Then you found out later that she went with somebody else.
Yeah. So I originally had the conversation with her, and it was going good. And then she had to like talk to her husband or check her husband's schedule because he has like a sporadic work schedule. And then she ghosted me for a few weeks. I finally got a hold of them. They're like, yeah, we went in a different direction for an agent. Yeah.
Hello.
Hey, Juliana, it's Jason here with Yanchin Homes. I'm calling because Dan asked me to reach out and thank you for checking out homes on our website. And I was curious, were you just browsing or were you looking to move soon?
Okay, so we know we need to match the first word, which you didn't do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you are using our intro, which is great, right? Are you just browsing or are you looking to make a move? So that's excellent. That's the script that we teach and one of the most impactful scripts that you can use. Get straight to the point. I have a question for you. You said you're an agent. Are you an ISA or something? Because when you open, you say, Dan asked me to give you a call.
No, I am an agent. I got that from Sharan Srivasa, Real, because we're a Real broker. So he does a lot of trainings and calls it like the middleman technique or middleman frame. And it's basically just being like, hey, this person asked me to call you. So that's what I'm doing. So they're less likely to feel any contempt towards you. And, you know, because I'm doing it on behalf of somebody else, like yeah, don't kill the messenger type thing.
I got you. Listen, I love Sharan. He's a great guy and he knows a lot. My argument against that is that after having trained a lot of ISAs and working with ISAs, when you give away your power and you essentially, not only are you showing up as a salesperson, regardless of what you say, and people don't like to interact with salespeople in the first place unless they want something, but if you then show up as a weaker version of a salesperson or of a salesperson who's not even the point of contact, who doesn't even really have the authority to talk to me, it puts you in a worse position in my as far as from my experience and my perspective. So here's what I would suggest with anything. I always say, if it works for you, keep doing it. What I suggest is maybe try a section of them or a sample of them where you do that strategy, where you play the middleman, and then do a sample of them where you don't. And you show up as you, full authority, full power, right? not on somebody else's behest. So it's like, hey, yeah, I'm bugging you. I'm interrupting your day, but I'm full powered and I have the right to be here versus, hey, sorry, I'm interrupting your day. Oh, and I'm not even the point person. I'm
gotcha. Yeah.
So just try it, right? Try a sample of the two and get a decent number. Have 10 or 15 conversations in one way, have 10 or 15 conversations in another way, and see if it changes the energy of the people that you're talking to at all.
Okay.
That's what I would suggest. Likewise, you know, this kind of dovetails with the concept of what is it called? Salutations, right? When you get into a conversation, hey, Jason, it's Dale. How are you today? Or hey, Jason, it's Dale with Amazing Realty. How are you today? That's a salutation. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, salutation is a normal part of speech. For a long time, we were using salutations. But now there's so many spam calls, you know, sales calls. There's so many telemarketers out there that it's way better off if you just get rid of that salutation and go straight into it. Because really, what the prospect always wants to know is, who are you? Why are you calling me? And what do you want? Right? And so, because there's so many other callers out there, if we can get to it much faster, it's much more powerful. All right, so I'm going to hit play.
Well, I'm browsing, but we have a little bit more interest. But I have to tell you, if there's any way you can call me back, because I'm just out the door to run to work.
Oh, yep. when I'm sorry to catch you at a bad time. When's a better time to reach you?
Probably a better time today would be like after 3 o'clock.
After three? Okay, I can definitely do that. I do have a meeting at three, so it might have to be tomorrow, because depending on when I get out of that, because I might not get out of that meeting till like six.
Too late. Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, understood. That would be fine. No problem.
Okay, I can do that. Real quick, I guess, so you said you were a little bit more interest. Within like how many months are you thinking you're wanting to move?
I think you're doing really good here. You confirmed the fact that you're going to talk to her later. I think it got a little bit muddled around the what time. I would have tried to talk to her that same day. If it just wasn't possible, I think that's totally fine. I might have more quickly moved to the when are they planning to move before I haggled over when and what time, because the likelihood that she's going to answer your call is very low.
Yeah.
Again, you know, I mean, that's just how it goes, right? What I know is if I let you off the phone, the likelihood that we're going to talk again is very small. And so I want to try to get that all out right now. But otherwise, you're doing really good so far.
I don't know. Anywhere probably 6 to 12.
Okay.
We're not sure. We do have an agent. So I should be upfront about that. We do.
Yeah.
An agent. So.
Yeah. No worries. I don't want to step on any toes. Do you have a signed agreement with them?
We do not have a signed agreement with them, no, and we don't have anything approved yet on the bank.
Okay.
Don't have anything approved yet.
Do you plan on working with them, or do you plan on getting some like second opinions about what might be better for you on working for stuff like that?
Okay. Now that was a really soft ask. So I think you did a good job going to have you signed anything with them. I heard you paraphrase. You said, oh, you have an agent. She said, yes, we do. So that's step one of what we teach. And we have a 4-step process that we teach. Do you know what the 4 steps are? Have you learned that before, Dan?
Yeah. 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 Paraphrase. And then I don't know the order, but ask if they have a signed agency, and then ask if they're committed to them. And then I forget what the 4th one is. It's something along those lines. So. Oh, yeah. Benefit. Yep. What's the benefit of working with them?
So here's the order, and I can hear you trying to do it. You did a good, you took a good college try at this. So paraphrase, committed, signed, benefit.
Gotcha.
Yep. So what you did is you paraphrased and then you went to signed.
Signed.
And then it was a very weak committed, right?
Yeah.
You said, hey, are you planning to work with them, or do you want to, you know, do you want to take a gamble on another strange salesperson you don't know? This is essentially what you asked. Yeah. And so if I were to paraphrase it for you, it's sort of like, hey, complete stranger, do you want to work with those people that you already feel comfortable with and already feel safe and already know? Or do you want to take a gamble on me, a complete stranger who in a minute, 38 seconds, called you out of the blue, right? That's what your close sounded like to a consumer. So good job that you stayed in there and tried to do it. But when you hear it through that lens, no wonder she said no, right?
Right.
Or no, we'll hear what she says. So let's hear where it goes.
We pretty much plan on working with them.
Working with them. Okay.
You gave her the soft out.
Yeah.
Hey, are you planning on working with that safe, comfortable, nice people that you already know, right? Or do you want to gamble on something you don't? And so with that, if I put it into that context, that makes a difference, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So what we want to do instead is, oh, you have an agent? Are you committed to working with that agent? A straightforward, are you committed to working with that agent?
Mm-hmm.
Have you signed anything with that agent? Then we're going to move on to benefit or advantage. So just role play with me, Jason. Oh, you have an agent?
Yeah, we do.
Oh, okay, got it. Are you committed to that agent?
Yeah, as of right now, we are.
Okay, got it. Have you signed anything with them yet?
No, we haven't.
No, okay, got it. All right, I understand that. You know, I'm just curious, what's the benefit to working with that agent over any other agent in the market?
Well, we've been working with them, and they're doing a good job, and you know, we feel like, you know, nothing's going wrong with it, so we feel like we're happy with working with them.
Okay, got it. Great, thank you. So now at least I have some factors that I can work on. So what I know is that you have a level of trust and comfort, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're happy with them. It's like, why would I change? So I would have to present to you probably evidence of how our clients are very happy and secure with us and they feel a high degree of trust. And then I would also have to offer you something that's more cheaper, better, faster, easier on top to get you to consider even interviewing me or meeting with me or jumping on Zoom or having another conversation with me. So follow that pattern, right? Paraphrase, committed, signed, benefit. So let's hear how this goes. So she just said, yeah, we're going to work with them.
That sounds good. Well, hey, I don't want to step on any toes, like I said.
And please get rid of step on toes. Never say that again.
Why?
Because it is a very weak phrase to say, I don't want to step on other people's toes. You're a salesperson. You have to compete.
Right.
That's the point. And when you say, I don't want to step on toes, it sounds like I'm not going to offer you, I don't have services good enough to offer you that I should compete with the people you're already talking to.
Okay.
Or that it's a popularity contest, right? This is not a popularity contest who you hire to help you get the best possible deal on your dream home. It's not a popularity contest who you hire to sell your home and guide you through a difficult process and ultimately net the most money for your home. So that's why I want you to get rid of that phrase.
Okay? Gotcha. Yep.
Okay.
Feel free. I'll text over my number so you can save it. And if you do end up deciding that you want to get like a second opinion and at least just have a sit down to see if, you know, what we do and see if it would be a good fit going forward, I'm more than happy to do that for you.
Now, in this call, based on what you did, do you know why she's working with that agent?
No.
Do you know what advantage she gets or benefit she gets out of working with? Do you know what's important to her about the agent she works with?
Nope.
None of that, right? Okay. That's why I'm fixing your process right now.
Right.
Because we exited a call with basically an offer that said, if it doesn't work out, come talk to me, the complete stranger that you know nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
So again, the next time you run into this, never leave a call where somebody says, I'm going to work with someone else without getting from them why they're going to do it that way and what difference or what advantage it makes for them, what the benefit is to them doing that decision.
Okay.
Good. Your instincts are good, right? Which is, hey, if it doesn't work out, here's my contact, give me a call. The problem is it's not powerful enough that she's even going to remember this conversation that she had with you.
Yeah.
And we've just now had the conversation that's likely to preclude her from answering the phone later or to talk to you again later, because we pretty much got it out all on the table. She said, hey, we're buying with somebody else. And you said, oh, would you consider working with someone else? And she, you know, basically said no.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Do you, I don't know how long ago it was you talked to her. Have you spoken to her since?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think I put like a 6 month follow up or something just because I was like, I knew I didn't do good on the call. And I don't know. I don't know what the follow up was, but I know I haven't talked to her since.
Jason, I want to tell you something. You did better than probably 60% of the salespeople I hear who would just roll over and play dead when she first says they have an agent or wouldn't even push past the fact that she's busy. So you're doing good, man. Don't worry about that. I'm just here to help you make this more impactful and do a better job with it.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move on to did you have any more questions about that?
No, that was good. Yeah.
All right. On a side note, how are you feeling, man? I can tell your mood has shifted. I don't think you thought I was going to lay into you like this.
No, you're good. I thought you were going to lay into me more, honestly.
Oh, okay. All right. We're good.
I was ready.
You are really good on the phone, and I think I can take you to the next level.
Okay. I just hate the sound of my own voice.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Listen, man, sometimes I do too. If you hear it enough, you get over it. It's not
yeah.
I'm still fat on camera. I haven't gotten over that yet. All right. So we're going to go with this is an open house guy. And as I was listening to your calls, I really started to pick up a pattern with you, and I'm going to illuminate it for you. Now, what word did he say?
I didn't hear it.
He said hello. You said hey.
So, like, I mean, the sound didn't go through.
Oh, okay. Let's do it again. You hear it? You're not hearing the sound.
No.
Oh, you know what? We're sharing the wrong screen.
I was going to say the screen still says the last call.
Yeah, okay. I'm also learning this software. Share screen. Open house. There we go. Now you should hear it.
Hello. Hey, Eric. This is Jason.
You hear where you didn't match his first word?
Yep.
Yeah. And so I know that you've been through the training before, but for the listeners listening to this, I know it sounds petty, but it causes two things to happen. It causes you to be actively listening, and it also registers with the person that the lead that the words you use are matching versus the words not matching, right? So I love to just, I mean, we all sort of subconsciously can recognize when things don't match. And the other thing that you can never forget, what do you do for a living, Jason?
Sell houses.
You're a salesperson. Yes, exactly. You're a salesperson. Does anybody ever want to talk to a salesperson when they don't need something or don't have a question?
No.
No. Okay. So this guy answered his phone. He doesn't recognize the phone number, doesn't recognize the voice, probably assumes that it's going to be a salesperson. And then you're out of rapport by not matching the same word or the energy. That already breaks your rapport. I mean, we've already broken rapport because we're salespeople and we're calling people, right? So let's just try not to break it as much. And a cheap thing you can do is match the word, and it forces you to listen to what they're saying. Good?
Yep.
Okay.
With Danchen Holmes from the open house today on Red Oak, giving you a call because I would promise sellers I'd follow up here. And I was curious how close that home was to the one that you're looking to buy on a scale of 1 to 10.
We are not interested at all.
Okay. Now, I'm assuming you didn't get to talk to this guy while he was at the open house.
No, I don't think
okay.
so.
Okay. And did you hear that the way that he responded to you?
Yeah.
We are not interested at all.
Yeah.
Like, he's almost mad about that house. So two things. When you hear that, either this guy is super resistant to talking to salespeople, or he's got some kind of chip on his shoulder about talking to you in the first place, right? Or about this call, or about that house, or whatever he's got, you know, whatever's going on. But you can hear there's an attitude here. So I want you to be aware of that. Now, let's start listening to this through the lens of this guy has a chip on his shoulder or he has an attitude.
Okay, not interested at all. Is there...
No.
Okay, I appreciate the honesty.
Oh, and I think that's a good question, right? Hey, how close was this home today to the what you're looking for? I think that's a really good question that you can ask.
Honestly, yeah. Okay, not interested at all. Is there, okay, I appreciate the honesty. Is there like some feedback that you could give on like why, so, you know, we can help out forward?
Yeah, sure. It's a nice house and everything like that, but it's just simply not what we are looking for right now.
So what I think you could do is you could clean that question up just a little bit. Maybe, hey, how does this house compare to what you're looking for, right? Or how close was that home to what you're looking for? We're not interested at all. Oh, wow. Interesting. How does it compare to the other homes you've been looking at?
Okay. Right?
I think that could be a good, clear question to ask somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. It's a nice house and everything like that, but it's just simply not what we are looking for right now. We don't have any kids. Four bedrooms is a lot. It's just my wife and I and a dog. So.
Okay. Okay, got it. Did you check out any other homes? There was that one on Main Street here in McFarland.
I might have gone straight to what kind of home are you looking for, right? Just to open it up and make it a more broad question rather than choosing one. I don't think it's a bad strategy that you're doing, but I have a tendency to prefer to keep things as open-ended as I can to get them to talk. Mm-hmm. And if I ask, what kind of home are you looking for? And he starts to shut me down and reject the salesperson, then I'm going to change my tack. But until then, I want to try to keep it as open as I can.
And I don't know if you saw that one. That one was a little more of a smaller.
We're looking more outside of McFarland as well too.
Oh, okay.
We're looking to get back to a more urban area.
More urban area. Okay.
Yeah.
What parts of town do you really like?
Downtown Madison.
Okay.
Now I think that was a good question. What parts of town do you like? Because that starts to lead you into rapport type questions. And remember, this guy has a chip on his shoulder. So I think I know where this broke at for you.
Like on the isthmus and everything, or?
Yeah. That's actually where we were previously.
Okay. Awesome.
We're looking to get back there.
Yeah. Oh, perfect. And do you own your home now, or are you renting?
We do. No, we own a home.
Okay. And do you have to sell in order to buy?
We really haven't made that decision yet. We may hang on to it and use it as a rental property or something like that. But
so you're asking a lot of functional questions in here. You're not asking rapport building questions. And this is something that I've noticed listening to your calls is you don't take enough opportunity to build rapport with people. And what that means is it's the soft conversations, right? The functional conversations are, do you own a home or do you rent? Do you need to sell your home in order to purchase? What neighborhood do you want to buy in? If you can take those hard functional questions and you can make them softer, or you can switch. So we noticed that he said he wanted to get back to the isthmus and called it a name, right?
Yeah.
And he said, we used to live there. So if I wanted to come up with some rapport questions, it could be, oh, God, what made you move away in the first place? Or how long did you live there? And you can also interject whether you've ever lived there, whether you have friends who've lived there or know somebody from there, or, you know, you beat the lacrosse team who plays there. Whatever it is, like some kind of personal thing that you can inject there will increase the rapport. And knowing that this guy has a chip on his shoulder, we need to work on a little bit more rapport with him, because I believe that firing off these functional questions to him is what ends up breaking this call for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to show you here when that happens. It might be right here. I'm not sure.
You know, again, we're not looking to move in the next month or two. It's going to be quite a while.
When people say something like that out of context to your questions, it means that they're rejecting you as a salesperson. Meaning, you are presenting as a salesperson. I'm not ready for a salesperson. I'm going to reject you as a salesperson. And a big part of that is because you were too functional and not enough rapport building. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. You're asking all the right questions. It's just that you can't layer too many functional sales-oriented questions in at one time, especially if somebody's not ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
If somebody said, hey man, we're ready to buy, ready to get moved. Here's where we want to go. You can fire off a whole bunch of functional questions at them.
That makes sense. Yeah. That's something that I know I need to do better on, is like digging deeper on stuff like that.
Yeah. Maybe this would help. If you start listening in each of your calls and think, how can I ask a question that has nothing to do with sales, that helps me in no way with sales at this point? You know, like unfortunately, some of the best salespeople I've ever seen talk about baseball or fishing, like until you want to puke, right? But
yeah,
it works. And for some people it works, and they build rapport doing that. So I'm not saying go to that extreme, but if you need, and I've worked with some salespeople in the past who needed some more of this. So as you go through the call, I want you to do this. You have to look for one thing about somebody or their story or what they're doing that you're going to ask about that has nothing to do with sales or won't help you in sales.
Okay.
How's that?
Yeah.
Good. I'm going to keep playing this.
Okay. When you say quite a while, what do you mean?
More than 12 months.
Okay. Yeah, that's no worries. What is it that has, like, what's important about waiting 12 months to you?
Now, functionally, that's the right thing to do. That's the right way to unpack a not now objection. When you say, whatever it was, down the road or in the future, right? What do you mean? I would have softened that question, especially with this guy having a chip on his shoulder. And then when he said more than 12 months, I was like, danger, dude. We're in the danger zone here, right? And then you asked him what the benefit was to waiting. I think that we were already on a slippery slope with this guy, where he already had a chip on his shoulder. We didn't build enough rapport, and we're firing off sales questions at him. So even though you took the right move, which is, oh, not now, when? 12 months. What's the benefit to 12 months? Functionally, that's right. But it kind of broke the conversation because he was regarding you as a salesperson. We didn't have enough rapport.
Gotcha.
So you would have had to soften it. I would have, like, hopefully in the future, maybe you'll catch that and get off the sales thing and switch before you come back. And you can always circle back in the conversation once you get them warm and fuzzier again.
Okay.
Because then later you can be like, hey, you mentioned longer than 12 months. I'm just curious, how did you guys decide, you know, 12 months or so made sense for you? That's like a softer way to ask that question.
So what you're saying is, like, because I think I noticed it a little bit, but now that you say it, it makes it a lot more obvious about, like, him, you know, his chip on his shoulder and everything like that. So you're saying that instead of going through the functional stuff, just take a break from everything and take a little time to focus on rapport building. And then, you know, once I feel like I got in a good spot, go back to those questions.
Yes, but don't make it like, you know, functional question. Oh, hey, did you see the Steelers are
right? Yeah,
like, it's not a hard left.
Yeah,
I like to describe it as, like, be looking for exits off the sales highway, right? Where you can just take an easy left or an easy right. And an easy left or easy right was when he said, we used to live on the isthmus. We want to get back there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a life decision. There's all sorts of ramifications around the fact that they already lived somewhere. And if they lived there, something caused them to move. And now they want to go back there, which means they like it a lot, which means that whatever caused them to move must have been a big thing in the first place for them to go back there.
Yeah. Right?
There's like a whole thing there. And you can just ask a simple question about it. Just to, you're sort of, if you have to pretend that you care, then pretend. But
yeah,
you know, if you like people and you think about their scenario, you're like, man, what, that's cool. So what did you love about the isthmus so much that you want to go back? And, well, that's crazy. What made you guys move away in the first place? Like, I just want to understand the story. So that was like a big turn that you could have made off the highway that was just like he teed it up for you.
Yeah.
It's funny. I did a call review one time for this guy. He was in sales, really great salesperson. And the lead, he's following up with the lead. She's a nurturer. And she goes, yeah, we're having our first baby. He goes, uh-huh, okay, great. So how far after the baby do you think you want to be moved in? I was like, what are you doing? You don't start like talking about the baby. Yeah. Man. Oh my God. Like that's a huge opportunity. So that wasn't this obvious, but you can still bring the same strategy and technique here.
Right. Yeah. And I know like you've talked about that on Cash Call before, where like you yourself, because I'm sort of the same, kind of not maybe not as bad as that guy, but when it's stuff like that, I'm just like, oh cool, you know, how many bedrooms do you want, right? Like how can I do my job? You know what I mean? Like it's not like to say that I don't care sounds bad, but at the same time I'm like, yeah, like what I care about is doing a good job for you. You know what I mean? Like I don't really care about your dog's name or something like that. You know what I mean? So I know I need to do a better job of like, you know, digging deeper on stuff like that, you know, when it's, you know, they say something and be like, oh yeah, you know, how's that? Or, you know, just building the rapport that way. That's definitely something big area of improvement for me.
Yeah. Let me put it into context. Maybe this is easier to understand. What we're working on is we're working on consumers rejecting salespeople for the most part, right? Consumers are rejecting salespeople. What do salespeople represent, Jason? What's the sole purpose of a salesperson to you as a consumer?
To sell you something.
To sell you something, to get you to make a decision or change your mind or sell you something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you're rejecting the salesperson, what you can't reject is another human being who actually gives a shit about you or lets you talk about the things you like or desire or your thoughts or your feelings, right? That's much harder to reject. So that is the strategy.
Yep.
If you get the feeling that they're rejecting the salesperson, you got to switch out of salesperson.
Yep.
And that will make them like you better and it will help them take down the defenses and it will get them reattached to the conversation.
Gotcha.
Okay, good. All right, now, let's see. Where did we end with this guy?
It's just the sort of the way our timeline is with everything that we have going on in our lives right now and stuff. In fact, I'm kind of busy right now, so I'm going to have to let you go. I do appreciate call though.
Yeah, no worries. No, I appreciate the feedback and giving it back or, let me know here. I can let you go, real quick. Would you be offended if I followed up with you in the future to make sure we're not dropping the ball?
If you want to send it through email, that would be fine.
Now, listen to this through the ears of a consumer. Hey, would you tell me no if I wanted to randomly call you out of the blue and see if you want to buy or sell with me yet? Don't do that anymore.
So say, what should I say instead?
Well, let's create a logical next step with somebody, right?
Okay.
Or just don't pre-warn them that you're going to bother him again in the future. But let me ask you a question. You just listened to this call. Do you know why this guy's buying?
No.
Do you know what's important to him about making a move?
No.
Do you know what goal he's trying to accomplish by doing that?
No.
No, you don't. So one, we're missing it from this conversation, which would also have helped him be connected to this. And so don't pre-warn him that you're going to follow up with him. What I would do is I would just call him again. I don't know what his name is. Bob. Hey, Bob, it's Jason. I talked to you the other day after the open house, and I know you said you guys are way out in the future, but I completely forgot to ask you, what has you thinking about making a move in the first place? I'm just curious because you moved away from the whatever and now you want to move back to the whatever and I love it over there too. So I'm just curious, what has you guys making a move now? Just be personable, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So also I would set up a logical next step with the guy. He said he has to go now. We know that I've listened to the whole thing. We don't even know if he has an agent. We don't know how he's going about looking for homes. We don't know how he's going about purchasing, right? So I don't even know if he has an agent or not. And mm-hmm. So what I probably would have done in this logical, to set up a logical next step, I would have asked him how he's going about looking for homes, right? And is it just open houses or whatever? And I've heard you on other ones get people set up on a portal to look at homes with you. So I would have seen if I could have gotten him onto a Zoom call with me so that we can be looking on the isthmus or whatever it is, because I'd say something like, hey, I know you're a little ways out, but if we jump on here, we look at the isthmus together, we start talking about things, it will cause me to keep you in mind in case anything pops up there before it hits the internet. Would you like me to put that in front of you? He's probably going to say yes. And you say, great. Either come to my office and meet with me or jump on a quick Zoom call with me and let's go through our portal, right, and get you set up. So that's the tack that I would have taken, and it would have been a logical next step. Now, let's say he's like, no, it's going to be 12 months out. We're not really interested. Can't do anything now. I'd say, all right, 12 months out. When are we shooting for? It's April right now. Do you want to be moved in April of next year, or do you think it'll be beyond that? Nail it down to a tentative time frame, and then say, okay, how about this? I'll follow up with you in 2 or 3 months. I'll see where you and your family is at with your plans around moving. And at that point, either you can put me to work trying to find a good property for you, or you can tell me it's going to be another 3 or 4 months. How does that sound? Now I have more of a logical next step than a, would you mind if I randomly call you to see if you want to buy or sell?
Right.
Good. How much time do we have? Oh, we're doing good. How are you feeling, man?
Feeling good.
It's good?
Yeah.
Now let's talk about this one. I got to stop my share again.
Hello. Hey, okay. Tim, Jason, yep. Here in Tim Holmes. Is not a bad time?
It's okay, but what's about?
Yeah, I'll be real quick. I see that our team hasn't connected with you here in a while. And back when we did, you weren't really ready or in the market to buy or sell a home, but want to make sure we're not dropping the ball for you. So I thought I'd check in here at the beginning of the year to see what your plans were for 2024.
All right, now, let's listen to the structure of how you got into this, okay? You sound really good, but I'm going to move some parts around and it's going to work better for you, okay? So if we go back to the beginning, let's start from the beginning and listen to this.
Hello?
Hey, Tim, Jason here with Dan Chin Homes. It's not a bad time?
Okay. Now, every consumer wants to know, who are you? Why are you calling me? What do you want? Right?
Yep.
So again, we didn't match the first word, but now you're going to have sleepless nights worried that whether or not you match the first word, because that's now implanted in your brain. It's going to make you paranoid. And you answered who you were, but you didn't answer why you were calling or what you wanted, but instead you went with, is now a bad time? Is there a reason that you went with, is now a bad time?
So typically, like in our market, because I know you've talked about this before on whether you use a salutation or not, and depends on where you are. And I mean, in Wisconsin, it typically is. Like you hear a lot of people with the how are you? And I switch it to is now a bad time after I read Chris Voss's book, like The Never Split the Difference, where he talks about the negatives instead of asking them if it's a good time, because it's easier for people to say no, right? So is now a bad time? No, it's fine, right? So it kind of like brings the wall down a little bit. So I typically use that one, or I just won't say anything at all and I'll go into it. It kind of just, I don't know, I switch back and forth.
Let me give you a rule. If you're talking to a lead that you have high rapport with, or you have business dealings with, that you've already done business with in the past, you guys know, liking, trust each other, or it's a lead that wants something from you, is asking for something from you, you can use is now a good time or is now a bad time. It doesn't really matter, but you can use that to be polite.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
If you're talking to a lead that's not wanting anything from you and we don't have rapport with, and we're basically calling them out of the blue as a cold salesperson, do not ask that.
Okay.
Do not ask that, because the lower the rapport, or if they don't want anything from you, the easier it is for them to say, yep, now's not a good time, because you're just a strange salesperson that has no hooks in them.
Right.
Does that make
yes.
sense?
Yes.
Okay. So hopefully that clarity, love Chris Voss, love that concept. I would say to go further is, if you have rapport, if you are sort of inside the guard or they want something, you can ask that to be polite. If you're not inside the guard yet, no rapport, and you're a strange salesperson, avoid
yep.
anything that gives them an opportunity to reject you, except for the script that we use, which is, are you buying now or just window shopping?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're using the objection that type of lead most likely gives anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then they feel more comfortable. Okay, so don't do that. And then listen to what we did instead. You said, I know we spoke to you a while ago. You weren't in the market yet to buy or sell, right? So let me rearrange this. Here's how I want you to use what you already know. And tell me this. In this call, he introduces his wife or whoever it is, the partner that's making the decision, right? Was that, do you know if that was already in your notes?
It wasn't.
Okay. What did you have in your notes?
I'm pretty sure basically all I had was that we had like talked to him in the past. And I mean, I don't know the specifics, but basically they were thinking of moving, and but they weren't ready yet for whatever reason. And it had been a while, like since anybody had gotten a hold of them. I don't know the specifics of it, but.
All right. So I'm going to call you. And what I want you to do is I want you to use what you know up front faster. So ring, ring, Jason.
Hello.
Hello, Jason. This is Dale Archdeacon with Dan Chin Homes. It looks here like we spoke with you a while back, maybe a few months ago. And at that time, you weren't quite ready to make a move to buy or sell. And we were supposed to follow up with you. So I just wanted to see, are you still in the market to purchase or have you purchased already?
Gotcha.
So I just told you an entire story, right? Here's who I am. This is the reason that I have the authority or the right to be on the call with you. I know who you are. We interacted before. I've told you the story and I asked you what I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
All of that together, right? Because that's what they want to know anyway. They want to know, who are you? Why are you calling me? What do you want? So tell them the story and it will make sense.
That sounds a lot better than what I said.
Good. Well, that's why we're here. All right. So let's, there's another thing in here that I wanted to point out to you. Let me see. Not decision maker. Okay. So here's where we get to with this guy. Basically, they already bought a house, which is always disappointing when we run into that in our database, right? But the home they're in, it belongs to his wife.
The home they had, the home that they came from.
Whatever she is.
Mm-hmm.
The home they came from. Yeah, exactly. So he ends up really not being the decision maker, and we're trying to sort of work through him. So I'm going to fast forward here a little bit and see how we could have done this better.
Okay.
So it's a nice little quiet neighborhood. That's what we were looking for.
That's awesome. You sell your home too?
Well, it's Sherry's home, so it's
Sherry.
You know, I didn't own that house.
So. Oh, got it. But you went to Sherry. Did Sherry get it sold?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. Was she still looking to do that or?
Yeah, but it's her timeline and whenever she wants to. So she's got some things she wants to do with it first. So.
Okay. What are some of the things she wants to do?
Okay. So where we're, I don't know if that was it. Hold on.
No, I didn't own that house.
So. Oh, got it.
Before.
That's awesome. You sell your home too?
Well, it's Sherry's home, so it's you know, I didn't own that house. So.
Oh, got it. But you went to Sherry. Did Sherry get it sold?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. Was she still looking to do that, or?
Yeah, but it's her timeline and whenever she wants to. So she's got some things she wants to do with it first. So,
okay. At this point, man, I know that we're not going to be able to really sell through this guy. And so is Sherry there, right? I want to know, is she there? I want to see if I can get her on the call with us because we aren't really going to be able to go very far. And I can hear that this guy's like punting. You know what I mean? He's like, well, that's Sherry's thing. She's going to deal with it. So see if you can get her on the phone. Hey, is Sherry there? I'd just love to ask her some questions about the property, even if she isn't going to be selling in the near future. See if you can get in touch with her or talk to her. As soon as you realize that you're not talking to the decision maker, don't straight out ask, oh, can I call Sherry, right? But do it in a little more sly way like I did, which is like, oh, is Sherry there? I'd love to ask her some questions about the property, right? And you never know. I'd say probably 7 out of 10 times they'll put the person on the phone if they're actually there.
Okay.
And then you can talk to them.
Yeah.
Because if you, if you keep trying to work through not the decision maker, pretty soon the not the decision maker is going to get tired of the conversation and we're going to end up nowhere with them. Now, okay. Let's say you say, hey, is Sherry there? I'd love to ask her some questions. And he says, oh, no, she's not. I would try to arrange a time when you guys could talk. And so I'll teach you right now the get their phone number script. And it's like a tactic that we use. So let you role play. You pretend that you're the guy that we're talking to. Okay?
Okay.
So, hey, is Sherry there? I'd love to ask her some questions about the property, even if she's not going to be selling it in the near future.
No, she's not here right now.
Oh, okay. Got it. Well, listen, like I said, I'd love to know about the property, see what she's planning on doing with it, maybe even give her some advice on how she can get the most money for it whenever she does sell it. So would you give her my info and ask her to give me a call?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay. Here's my number. Blah, 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 blah. You got that?
Yep.
Okay, excellent. Listen, if she gives me a call, I'll step out of whatever meeting I'm in or whatever's going on. So when do you think she'd be able to give me a call?
Probably tomorrow around noon.
Tomorrow around noon. Okay, great. I want to make sure that I don't miss it when it comes in. What number would she be calling from?
Yep.
Bang. Yeah? 60% of the time-ish, 60, 70% of the time, they'll give you that number.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, I have heard you say that one before, and I've actually used that in the past. I don't think I've ever gotten it to work, but I've used it a couple times. But I was also like, it's like the first time I went out to use it, so it wasn't. I didn't say it as confidently, so that's probably why it didn't work.
That's great.
But I do remember because you talked about that on a past episode or something, and I did use that.
It really works, but it only works if they really believe, like if they're walking through the scenario in their own heads. Mm-hmm. That they're going to give the info to the person and that the person is going to reach out and I'm going to be sitting patiently waiting for the person to reach out. If we paint that whole picture, then they just flow with it. And they're like, oh, well, her number is blah, 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 blah. Right. And you're like, great. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. And then what I'd probably do is I'd get the person, if they give you the info, get them to commit as to when they're going to talk to the person next and give your info. And then what I would do on the back end after I end the call with them, I would wait probably 24 hours and then I would call the person and I'd say, okay. Hey, I spoke to Jeb yesterday, right? And he said, you might potentially be selling the house. And I just had a couple of questions for you. He said he was going to give you my info. Did he do that? Did he talk about me? Yeah. And then move on with your conversation. Now, so give that a shot. Now let's say that he says, no, Sherry's not here. You try your magic, get the phone number thing from him, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, you sneaky salesperson, I'm not doing that. Then what I'd probably do is I would see if I could figure out the next time that Sherry's going to be around either arrange another phone call. Because the only other thing you can do essentially is like threaten this guy that you're going to call him until you talk to Sherry.
Right.
Right? Which might sound something like, oh, okay, got it. Yeah, hey, that makes total sense. Well, listen, I'll, wait for Sherry to give me a call. But if I don't hear from her, today's Friday, if I don't hear from her, I'll just give you a shout maybe on Sunday afternoon and see if you guys happen to be together. So okay. Now I've just made a subtle threat that you're going to get another phone call from a salesperson if I don't hear from Sherry first.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Let's just see where we ended with this guy. You don't happen to remember, do you?
Not off the top of my head.
Okay.
Moving.
Oh, no worries. I appreciate you thinking.
Visitors, just keep to ourselves. So.
Oh, you asked if they knew of anybody. He said we keep to ourselves. They're like the Unabomber in a cabin somewhere.
So I'm not, I don't know anybody who's moving.
Oh, no worries. I appreciate you thinking about that for me. I just thought I'd ask. And I guess if you do hear of anybody, feel free to share my number. I'm happy to help too.
Okay.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Well, thank you much, Tim. I hope you have a great weekend.
You too.
So here's the problem. There's no logical next step.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We went through this. We didn't play all of it for everybody, but there's no when you're going to talk to Sherry, when you're going to talk to him, when either one of you will interact, why you will interact, and what they will get out of it. Mm-hmm. So just as a reminder, never end the call without when we're going to talk, why we're going to talk, and what the lead is going to get out of it. So maybe that might sound something like, if you did nothing different in this call, except we punched up the end of this, you asked for a referral, he basically said, we don't know anybody. And then I might say, okay, great. Listen, I'd love to talk to Sherry about the property, whether or not she sells it now or down the road. So one, it helps me keep an eye on what might be available for our buyers and potentially coming up. And two, I can offer Sherry really good advice in terms of what the buyers are looking for right now so that she can get the most money for her home as she gets it ready for a sale. So when will Sherry be home? Yeah, I'm working on trying to set that next conversation.
Yeah.
And you hear me building the pieces of when and why and what they're going to get out of it.
Yep.
Okay. So if you can work on actively giving somebody, if you can work on giving somebody an active reason, a good reason for themselves to have another interaction with a salesperson, that will go a long way to making sure you get another conversation with them.
Yep. Okay.
Jason, let's play. I want to play this call, man. And I know that you had titled it Bad Intro, which is funny because when I actually played this, you've done some really great stuff in this call, and I want to highlight that. So we're going to start from the beginning.
Hello.
Hey, Shelby. This is Jason with Stan Chin Homes. Is now a bad time?
No, this is okay. I'm at work, but I can talk briefly.
Awesome. Yeah, hey, Dan asked me to give you a call, and thank you for checking out homes on our website through realty.com. And I was curious, were you just browsing, or are you looking to make a move soon?
Great intro, except we didn't match the first word.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only thing. And then you and I have just talked about the whole, oh, I'm calling on this person's behalf rather than I'm the actual person. So if you want to change that and test out being the person, being the authority, I think that's going to help you out a lot. But otherwise, you really stuck the intro here. And she says she has a few minutes to talk. So right now she's open to talking to a salesperson. But I want you to listen to how this changes over time in this conversation.
Oh, no, just browsing. Nothing. I'm not even really in the market, just seeing what's around.
Okay, so not in the market, you're just seeing what's around right now. Okay.
Did you repeat what she said on purpose, or were you trying to think?
I typically, when I'm thinking, I do it.
Okay, got it. I kind of assumed that's what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful when you're doing that. I would rather, if you're thinking, I'd rather see you acknowledge them. And especially with somebody like this, who's a long way out, it could sound something like, oh, that's great. Yeah, you know, most people start there. Most of the people that come to our website, you're in the right spot. Just acknowledge her, right? That will also give you a little bit of time to think about your next question. And your next question is really good. It's what we teach, asking present tense questions.
Real quick, do you live in the area now, or are you relocating?
Good job, man.
I live in the area. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Awesome. And I guess if you were to, it sounds like you're not in the market now, but at eventually some point you will be. And at that time, where would you like to be? Or like, what areas are you looking around?
Now, I think you're doing a really good job here, right? You tried to acknowledge that she's not doing it now. It will be in the future. And again, you asked her sort of what neighborhood she's interested in or where she wants to be. Here's the issue, though. I've listened to this call, and we fall out of rapport with her really fast. So if you were to go back and do this again, I want to point out to you, you know how we talked about you working on building a rapport?
Yeah.
Okay. What's a rapport question that we could have asked based on everything that she said so far?
So after ask her if she lives here and relocating?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what could you ask?
Like, where is she now, or how long has she been in the area?
Yes, exactly. Now, I want to offer you some advice. especially because you're a male and she's a female and she's far out, right? And you're a salesperson. I suggest that you tell her where you are first or how long you've been here.
Okay.
Right? So that'd probably sound like, oh, great. Hey, listen, I've lived here for 20 years. I went to whatever high school. What high school did you, are you from originally from here? Or what high school did you go to? Right. I've just jumbled in some like personable stuff. You know what I mean? And I'm doing it to get the law of reciprocity. I'm going to give you information first in a sort of a non-threatening way. And then it makes it easier for me to get the information from you.
Mm-hmm.
Good. So that's exactly what we're talking about, to give it a break from this sales conversation about, hey, when are you going to buy? What are you going to buy? Where are you going to buy?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know whether that would have saved this call, man, but at least we can try, right?
Right.
I'm not even sure.
Oh.
Yeah. No, I'm just kind of seeing what's listed around my house pretty much.
Okay. Around your house? Where are you at right now?
I'm over just...
Did you hear where you asked where you at now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it would be way less creepy.
Not if I said creepy. It and then...
Yeah.
If gotcha.
You said it and then asked her.
Yeah.
That'd be way more logical. Not that what you're doing is illogical, uh-huh. but I'm just saying, like, again, you're the salesperson. It's almost like Red Riding Hood. You're the big bad wolf. You know what I mean? And
right.
she's like, uh-oh, if I keep answering these questions, I'm going down the sales rabbit hole.
Yeah. Yeah. It's more of like you were saying earlier, like having a casual conversation in that way, instead of just like bombarding, you know, with questions, like I'm interrogating her or something, like give a little, like show I'm a human and not just a voice.
Exactly. That's exactly it. All right. So let's hear how she, and listen to the way she answers this. She doesn't even want to answer.
Yeah. You can tell right away.
Actually.
Okay. Around your house. Where are you at right now?
I'm over just in Friendship. Yeah. I do have to get back to work though. So sorry about that.
Oh, okay. Hey, no worries. Real quick before you go. So when do you think you would be in the market to move?
Oh, okay. I got to get back to work. She's literally closing the door on you and you went for another sales question.
Mm-hmm.
When would you be ready to move? Right. Very, it's definitely a classic mistake. Now I'm going to listen to the rest of this call and I want to highlight the good stuff that you did in terms of objection handling, but I want you to just recognize that we're already by switching into sales questions and doing the what would seem like the right things, we're already fighting a losing battle.
Mm-hmm.
And probably making it worse, actually. So listen to this.
Honestly, I don't know. To be honest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you think it like within the next couple of years, or you think longer yet?
Maybe longer than that. Yeah.
Maybe longer. Okay.
Yeah.
And what's the benefit of waiting longer than 2 years to buy?
I don't know. But thank you, though. Have a nice day.
Oh, God. This hurts. Dude, this hurts my heart. So, like, bad. Because what you did, excellent. Like, you chased down the objection, right? You asked her what's important about waiting or what's important about doing it later. Like, really great technique. It's the reason that this hurts is because you hear amazing technique that you're executing. It's just that you're doing it in the wrong scenario.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So you have great instincts. You clearly have really good training, you know, but executing it there didn't work. So next time I'm going to rewind you back here. And this is what I would do instead. Listen to when we asked her where she is.
Okay. Around your house. Where are you at right now?
I'm over just in Friendship. Yeah, I do have to get back to work though. So sorry about that.
Okay. You hear that rejection? She didn't want to answer the question. She felt uncomfortable. This is totally like a sales conversation that she's not ready for.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear that and you feel that, I want you to be like, oh, whoops, I'm sorry. And I want you to do kind of a get real. And that might sound something like, oh, hey, listen, I get it. I can tell that you're not ready to talk to a salesperson, and I apologize if it feels like I'm wasting your time or trying to sell you something right now. I'm not doing that at all. I help 20 or 30 families a year, you know, find their dream home and get into their new place. And usually every conversation starts just like this, when people aren't ready, but they're kind of kicking tires and looking around. And really, I just wanted to get some info from you so that down the road, when you are ready, if I happen to run across a great deal or the perfect home, I can put it in front of you. Is it okay if I just ask you a couple more questions about your scenario?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
A whole, like, listen, let's be real about this. I'm a real person. You're not ready to talk to a salesperson. Totally get it. And then give her valid reasons for why she should continue a conversation with another real human being and what she'll get out of it.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that sounds good. My question is, typically when people try to push me off the phone with stuff like that, like, I try to make them do it at least at a minimum, like, two times, if not three. And that was only one right there. So I'm curious, like, in the future, if it's no matter what, when they give you that first one to push off, like she said, I was at work in the beginning, but she's also like, yeah, I have some time. I am at work, whatever. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't really count that as like a push off. But then that was basically the first push off where she was like, yeah, I'm like, I have to go. And then, so typically I either do like, oh, real quick, or, oh yeah, real quick before you hang up on me. And then I ask, like, you know, another question. A lot of times, like, you see it gains, you know, 30 more seconds or something like that. But do you think instead, like, obviously what I went into is bad, but go right into the get real, or is it kind of like a feel it out type situation?
It's definitely a feel it out. If you listen to this call again, her energy towards you went from here all the way down to where she would barely answer your question.
Yeah.
Right? So if you think about it, the feeling, the energy of this call went like this really fast. And so if you recognize that, if her energy was like this and she tried to blow you off, oh, hey, I'm busy, man, but, you know, we can talk about this later. Push in and try to stay, like what you did. But her energy was like,
right.
She almost answer a question. Okay, that's where it's like, all right, let's be real here. I'm screwing this up and you clearly aren't ready for me. And I, you know, this is not what I'm trying to do. You know, like, I'm just another person. Here's what. Here's my purpose, and it's okay that you're not buying and you're not ready to talk to me.
Okay.
So that's why I'm suggesting that in this case.
Yep. That makes sense.
Okay, cool. Now, if you were talking to me, energy's high. Yeah, man. So we're not really sure. Maybe we'll be doing this, but I'm not sure. Listen, I'm about to walk into a meeting. You know, we can talk at another time. Maybe you can get just a couple more questions, but really at that point, you want to get the most important question answered that you can. And I have a hierarchy of questions that I need answered. The very first question that I need answered is whether you're going to buy or sell, because I want to know whether to follow up with you or not. So typically if somebody's pushing me, I'm going to get, are you buying or selling? And then if I can, I might get, do you have an agent? Here's why. Because in the hierarchy of me following up with leads, if you're planning to buy or sell, I definitely want to follow up with you. If you, for instance, are going to buy a house with your mom, who's a 30-year veteran in real estate, and you are an admin on her team, I'm probably not going to be as eager to follow up with you versus somebody who's like, oh, no, I don't have an agent. I'm not working with anybody, right? Okay, well, you are on my hit list.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. But, you know, again, it kills me that you were doing great strategy and technique. I'm hoping that in a recap here, you can hear how it was just applied to a situation where it wouldn't work. Cool. Excellent. So, Jason, after all of that, man, what are some takeaways?
There's a lot. I'm going to listen to my calls more, that's for sure. and just go back, because I just listening to them in general, I was like, oh, why did I say that? Or, you know, stuff like that, like without even, but a lot of the stuff, like from what you said, was really good about, you know, taking that every call, taking like looking for the opportunity to ask one non-sales question, or like rapport building like that, like, you know, oh, I live, you know, here, where do you live? Like stuff like that. Or that's definitely a big one, digging deeper on stuff like that and connecting more, building more rapport. The intros, as far as not saying I'm calling from somebody else, right? Saying I'm calling as me, not doing like the salutations or the, you know, is it now a bad time? Just going into it, stuff like that. I mean, I'm going to listen to it back. I'm sure there's more takeaways. I didn't take any notes right now because I wanted to be like here, but I'll listen to it back and take some notes. That's for sure.
Yeah. You'll get to see it on video. Excellent. Mm-hmm. So, do you feel like this stuff's going to help you be able to stay in there longer and set more appointments?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Excellent. Great. How about let's do this question this way. Jason, what do you think these things will help you do?
Definitely help me stay in there more and set more appointments.
Excellent. Great. Well, thanks for coming on the show, man. Thanks for being vulnerable and letting the entire internet universe hear your calls, and you're doing great. And here's what I'd say. Anybody watching this, if you want to go through this and you want, Jason, how was it on a scale of 1 to 10, how bad was it to go through this?
It wasn't that bad. Probably a 3, honestly. I thought it was going to be worse. I thought I was going to get called an idiot or say, why are you doing that? Or something like that.
No, it's not bad. I realize that other shows on YouTube want to sensationalize stuff like that. But, at its core, I really care about helping salespeople, and I'm not going to tear you down. That's not going to make your job any easier to get out there and take rejection, which, you know, is a noble thing to do. And frankly, you're doing a really good job, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. So thanks for joining me, Jason. And, you know, I don't know. How do I close this out? Jason, thanks for joining me, man. Thanks for doing this. And everyone else applauds you for stepping up and doing this.
Thank you. I appreciate you letting me come on.
So if you want to get your calls reviewed, if you want some direct feedback coaching on how you can improve, how you can basically get into a conversation better, handle objections, articulate your value, and close for appointments logically without getting shaken, without getting tossed off the phone, then hit us up at the link below where you can submit some calls and you can apply to jump on the show with us too. Thanks for listening to Cash Call today. If you like what you heard, come check us out at smartsalescoaching.com, and we'll be back again next week.